Yeah, keeping her away because she's probably, I mean, the re havoc she's wreaking on this whole farm. You know what I mean, though? And on the horses, the family, they've lost everything, their livelihood. It all goes crazy, and it hadn't stopped, and it won't stop.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Can't stop, won't stop. But the ha.
Horror Movie Survival Guide is a weekly podcast where I, Gorehound Julia Marchese, delves into my horror movie notebook to corrupt another one of my longtime chums, Terry Gamble, who is hiding in the creepy horror closet.
My mission is to learn the gospel of horror movie survival and to incorporate Julia's wealth of wisdom to become a final girl disciple.
Join us as we take a deep dive into everything from OG horror
to newly released films,
but prefer the classics on VHS.
We'll talk about obscure details that no one else notices,
spin off into alternate casting universes, crush on some dodgy, foxy fellows
and creepy uncles, and arm ourselves with the knowledge necessary to become the final girl.
Dun, dun, dun. Welcome, everybody, to the Super Horror Movie Survival Guide episode. This is double-packed, jam-packed. I'm Terry, and this is...
Julia, I'm going to continue with that crazy voice. You are going to be listening to us talk today about 2002's The Ring and 1998's Ringu, back-to-back, concurrently. Here we go.
Double trouble.
Yeah, the title of this episode is 7 days, since it applies to both films. So we have dueling taglines. You can tell me which one you like better, Terry.
Okay.
For 1998's Ringu, the tagline is one curse, one cure, 1 week to find it.
Okay.
Tantalizing. The one for The Ring, before you die, you see the ring.
Oh, well, of course, before you die, you see the ring. Like, I mean... We're promised death right at the in that tagline. I like that, but okay. Also the other one sets up what the actual thing is. So I think that's kind of what they did for each other, though, right? Like the Ringu obviously teed this thing up so that we could go and remake it in America.
Yeah, as America does. So this is both of these.
And
are
we're obsessed with death, as America is.
Everybody's obsessed with death. So it's based on the novel by Koji Suzuki. The screenplay for Ringu was by Hiroshi Takahashi and directed by Hideo Nakata. The American version was written by Aaron Kruger and directed by Gore Verbinski. So we have some alternate universe casting for the American version, if you'd be interested in hearing.
I am always interested in alternate casting, Julia. Always give that to me, please.
Okay, all right. So picture, if you will, instead of Naomi Watts in the American version, we could have had Jennifer Connelly, which I love.
Oh, yeah.
Kate Beckinsale. Okay.
Okay.
Gwyneth Paltrow. Or Jennifer Love Hewitt. And I was like, glad they didn't go with that one.
I'm real glad. I love you, J-Lo Hugh. You know this, but like that would have been a very different movie. And I don't think, Naomi Watts is fantastic, but Jennifer Connelly would have been like, oh,
I don't know.
Delicious.
Yeah, Jennifer Connelly would have been amazing. And I love Naomi Watts, so I'm very glad that she's in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a hypothetical, we'll see if that's true or not, alternate universe director. Rumor says that this film was offered to David Lynch and he turned it down. And I was like, ooh, David Lynch version of The Ring.
Oh, I want that so badly now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I wish I could turn back time and go back and be like, hey, guy. Just like, anyway.
Talk David Lynch into it.
I'm like not mad at like Gore Verbinski, but I also like, I think David Lynch's would have been chef's kiss.
Yes.
I feel like it would have been weirder. I feel like even the art house, like, elements of like the actual Ring movie itself, with the movie within the movie, would have been, I think, cooler.
Yeah. Well, then
I feel like the Japanese one, like the movie within the movie, is just so much cooler and weirder. And like, I think the American one is too literal, and I don't like that.
Okay, so we start off the same in both films, where we have two schoolgirls hanging out after school, goofing around, talking about whatevs. But then this rumor, this legend, gets brought up by one of the schoolgirls.
Yeah, like, have you heard there's this movie that if you watch this videotape in 7 days, you die. But like, as soon as you play the movie, like, you get this weird phone call and then the phone rings and then that's it. And you're like, oh, God, oh, no.
So in both cases, the other girl looks a little terrified, the one whose story is being told to, and does a goofy like, oh, I actually watched it and it was, you know, now I'm going to die. It was today, a week today. And then they think that they're goofing around and there's a moment where like, oh, I'm just goofing around. And then the phone rings like, oh, no. I'm not goofing around. Like, I really did watch that tape and it really was 7 days ago.
Yeah. And who knows what's going to happen now. I might die. But the phone rings, and in each case, it's the mom who's calling and like letting them know they're going to be late. But then some TV turns on by itself, and things get a little scary, a little dicey, and we end up with a death real quick of a teen girl who watched who claims that she watched the movie.
But we don't see it in either case, so no. they don't give you. We don't see what the person sees, and we only see their horrified face cut to next scene. So there's something there that's horrific, but we know not what. So yeah. we meet the mom. We have Asagawa and Ringu and Rachel in the ring. And in both cases, we have a very neglectful mom. A mom who has
she's a single mom. So you can tell that she, I don't know, I don't want to call her neglectful. I think she's overly obsessed with work, maybe. I'll call it that.
Well, I mean.
Okay, neglectful too, yeah.
Neglectful in the sense that, you know, in the Japanese version, you know, in the both versions, the son's about six or so, right?
Yeah, and they're little.
But they're like little 40-year-olds where they've already like do everything by themselves because they're
world-weary children. Yes. Yeah, world-weary little babies where they had to grow up too fast. And they also both seem like wise beyond their years and like mm-hmm. ways that they shouldn't, like they understand the world, and you're not sure if they have like sixth sense kind of stuff going right. on where they're like, oh, is this like that kind of a child where like you see things that are otherworldly around you and like all that kind of stuff or what?
But I guess, you know, in the Japanese version, they mention like, is Yoichi the little boy, is he okay by himself? And she's like, oh yeah, he's used to being by himself. And in that movie, like, he's six and really by himself, he's at home by himself, right? At least in the American version, they give him a babysitter and you're like, okay, there's somebody there with him.
Because you would have to, though. But in Japan in 1998, it's different. He's like a little latchkey kid. He goes, he knows how to use the microwave and heat up his dinner, and mom leaves it for him. But it's not like she's got a lot of help from his dad, because his dad is not really in the picture. And he doesn't seem very plus by it, as we get the reveal later on that, you know, there's this guy in her life. And you're like, wait, that guy doesn't seem very concerned about this child either.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. So they, you know, we have this, and I think the American version explains a lot more, right? Like I think that American filmmakers feel like you have to give the audience more explanation. They're not going to get it if you don't explain stuff.
The exposition is much longer, and they walk you through it, and they yes. hand feed you the beginning.
They
do. For sure.
Mm-hmm. And they really push in the American version that Aiden, the little boy, does have powers, right? That he drew his cousin's death before his death happened, so he knew that this was going to happen. And we don't get that as much in the Japanese version, that the little boy has these kind of powers, and like the family will, their powers will become revealed later.
Yeah.
But for right now, you're like, oh, they're just normal little kids and everything's okay.
Yeah. So the girls that died were the cousin. And so the mom and at least the ring tasks Rachel to go investigate. She's like, you're a reporter, you're an investigator. Like, can you find out, like, I don't know what killed my daughter. Her heartbeat just stopped. And a 16-year-old girl's heart just stopping. Not very common. And they're not sure why this would happen. There was no extenuating circumstances. But as soon as they find out about that, Rachel does the slightest bit of digging while she's at this funeral and finds out that there were other kids who died the exact same time on the exact same day. And then she finds out about the video from these kids.
And I think you have this interesting thing where you have, you know, she's a reporter in both cases, right? She's and so it's this feeling of, this is the biggest story I will ever work on, right? It's the same as we talk about, like, the scientists with that Nobel Prize gleam in their eye, right? And you're like, no, just let that go. Like, it shouldn't, you know, and you should be focusing on other things. But because, like, oh no, but this is a big story and I'm going to cover it by myself. Like, look at me go.
Well, she's also got that connection. So she's got more than one reason to be a part of it too. Cause she's like, well, this will help my family and it'll help me at the same time, basically.
Right.
But she doesn't realize what she's really getting herself into. And she's also probably drawn and pulled by forces greater than herself, cause she's yes. already been told about the video. And I think once you get told, you're also part of it somehow. Right. I feel like that's part of the unspoken thing of like, oh, now that it's out there, it's going to call to you.
So she finds in both films the photo slip of the photos that her niece had.
Remember when we had to get photos developed? Look at us. We're talking about photos. And again, I love older films where the kids are like, what are they doing? Well, kids, you used to only get 24 or 36 pictures. When you had your little, you know, camera, you had a roll of film in there. But you'd have to go get them developed. And sometimes you could go to 1 hour photo, but none of these kids chose that. They all chose to go back a little later and save themselves some dollars.
But I think it's telling of the character in both cases that she comes up, finds the little boy in the room, and is like, you shouldn't be in here, get out. And then immediately, like, starts looking through her stuff. And I was like, this is why you told him not to be in here. You shouldn't be
in here. She's in investigative reporting, though. So that's different, right? It's not.
Where is the line between investigating reporting and snooping? Where does that line drawn?
Well, also the kid was in both cases, I think, was actually closer to their cousin than you know, the mom is. And so it's just, yeah, it's interesting.
So they go off to this, they find out that the kids were, she gets the pictures back from the photo lab. And the first pictures look okay. They look normal, just kids hanging out in front of a cabin, being cute. And then all of a sudden don't look normal anymore. And now their faces look all fucked up.
Yeah, they're all blurry and it looks like it's like some weird filter that we would use now. But this is pre-filter era, kids. This is real film. And there's no filter to put on here. All of a sudden this happens. That kind of terrifies her. And she goes to try to figure out what kind of lens would do this and how this would happen, why this would occur. There is not a filter out there that does this.
So they decide to go off into the remote cabin location where the kids were last seen to see if they can find out what happened. One of them in Japan, they're going to Izu. And in this one, she's going somewhere. They're in Washington in the remake. Mm-hmm. So they go to this this place where she goes up to the clerk. I wanted there to be a payoff in the American one with this clerk with the magic trick.
I bet there is, and they probably had to cut it out because the movie was already a little ran a little long. And I think they could have cut out a little bit more, so they just let him do his little thing. I do. Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. I think it's cute. I was like, well, where does that come back around? And it doesn't, and that's fine. But in both cases, the tape is just sitting there looking very evil tape-ish. No labels.
It's not evil because there's no label. It looks like a blank tape. So you're like, okay, I think it looks not evil. It looks pretty innocuous. It's just it stands out because it has nothing else on it. It's like,
you have to wonder in this case, then the owner, the desk clerk must know, right? If people borrow that tape in that inn and then come back and be like, there's this some fucking weird thing on this tape.
I don't think it stays there all the time. I think it just happened to be there for that particular round because there isn't like any other, they try to figure out who else, at least in the Japanese version, no one else had that tape before.
Right.
Like, and they also say people leave stuff up there all the time. So it could have been left at any point in time. Do you know what I mean though? By anyone, or could have gotten spirited there. Or that's where someone left their copy when they're hoping someone will grab it in the cycle of this. Because the deal is you got to forward this tape on, right?
Right. So they in both cases they go back to watch said tape. So here's a question, Terry. Mm-hmm. You and I have been doing a podcast about how you survive a horror movie for several years now. You hear about a tape that you watch it, you die in 7 days. Even if you think it's rumor, are you watching this tape?
Hail to the no. I actually wrote that in my notes real big. I was like, why are they watching this tape if you know this is what kills you? It's because people, obviously, you're in the movie, in that world, you don't believe it's going to be true because that's like BS.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
So, but also like the fact that you're like in this cabin in the woods alone and doing this, that was like, I was like, are you kidding me? And I just love that the cabin in the Japanese one was before, even though that doesn't mean anything there, but I was like, oh, this is what happens before you die.
What happens?
Before you see the ring.
So
anyway.
For me, it's weird because we've discussed like haunted tapes, like Session 9, I would watch. This,
and Carrie's always like, no.
No, yeah. I know. And I'm like, I'm trying to decide where my own personal line is drawn, right? Because I'm like, haunted tapes would listen to. Sinister, we had haunted 8mm, and I was like, I'm more drawn to that, but after watching the first one, no. This, I'm like, no, uh-uh, not at all. So I don't
maybe
know
you're
why.
Learning. Are you learning, Julia?
I don't know.
Are you learning that maybe, maybe when shit look haunted, you probably just need to like be like, I don't need to listen to that tape.
I know, but when it's very tempting media like that, it is hard. But no, I feel like if. I don't know. Okay. So, but in either case, both of these ladies are like, yeah, I'll watch this fucking tape. And then they do. And you can tell, you know, it's all surreal images. And you know, in the American one, Noah was like, oh, it's like a student film, right? Like it looks very artsy. And you're like, it does. It looks like some art film. But then there's also really disturbing images. But I love that in both of these films, the second they click back to the girls' faces, you can be like, oh no, I just watched the tape and now I'm going to die. Like you could see that they know immediately. Oh, it wasn't
you
a joke.
You feel it. Like it's not a joke. And you're like, oh no, there's something wrong in here. Everything feels off. And then your world feels a little off kilter, right? And even like by the that the last shots that they have of like the bodies writhing in both the versions of it, mm-hmm. of like it looks like words and then all of a sudden it's just bodies and just like, oh, am I going to be one of those bodies? Like, do I become part of this cycle in this tape? And you feel like they are enmeshed in it. And the fear in everyone's eyes once they watch it is very palpable. I do love that. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, of course, the phone rings and you get the phone call. Like someone knows you watched it.
Yes.
Like everything's connected.
In the Japanese version, they don't actually say anything, though. The phone just rings and mm-hmm. you can hear like noise, but there's no one there. But mm-hmm. in the American version, you actually hear 7 days. You're going to you can die in 7 days. So they actually tell you what's happening if you didn't already know. So that's not good. So in both cases, they're like, okay. And this is the thing, like I find in both of these films, I find this character very frustrating, because I feel like, okay, you're a neglectful mother. That makes me itchy about you. And then you immediately are like, I know that the feeling they got when they finished the tape, they know, right? They know that they're fucked, and yet go on to show it to somebody else. Right. Which I know is the crux of the movie. I understand that. But like, what kind of person would do that? If I saw the tape, felt it, and I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna die in 7 days. I wouldn't show it to you. Like, I understand I want help, but what the fuck?
Right, but at first she doesn't, at least in the American, she doesn't, like, want to show him. She's just like, hey, I need to tell you about this thing. Right.
And he forces her like, through.
Yeah, and so I think that's part of the thing is once you hear about it, that's, I think, part of the glamour of it, right? And part of, like, the, like, magic surrealism of, right. like, being connected into it. Because as soon as she heard about it, she had to go find it, right?
It's true.
Things where, like, you part of the magic is that you do go seek it out. It's, like, as soon as you hear about it.
And I guess you're right. In the American version, she does protest. She's just like, no, I don't want to show you. And the Japanese one, she's like, nope, just showing you. So in both cases, we have Noah in the American version and have Ryuji, who is in the Japanese version. And at first, you're not clear what the relationship is. I'm like, I don't know who this guy is. Is he a coworker?
Like, who's this dude? Yeah.
He doesn't seem to be a boyfriend. They don't seem to be acting that way. So you're like, I don't really get the connection.
And the umbrella confrontation as he's walking over, because both of them got like this beautiful, that's a great shot of the umbrella confrontation where like the little boy is like, you know, walking to school on his own in the rain. And then he looks up and all of a sudden he's face to face with this guy and you're like, who's this random guy? And they just stare each other down in the Japanese one with their little umbrellas, and the American one, they also just stare each other down and like, okay. And then just walk past each other. They don't say hello. They don't have any exchange, any type of pleasantries other than kind of a stare down. So,
right. So you're like, okay, well, does he know, the little boy know him? There seems to be some recognition, but we're not really clear what exactly it is. So, they watch it and Noah, they're like unimpressed, like, I don't know. But then as they're like, okay, we'll make a copy, start to like break it down and see.
But he also works in film. So you find out that he like works like doing like, I think like news footage and film stuff too. So he's very adept. So if you're going to ask somebody to like look at a film and try to analyze where it's from and how it was made, this is the guy.
Yes.
But
we also have an interesting juxtaposition here in the American version. After he watches it, the phone rings. In the Japanese one, it doesn't.
Correct.
So there's a bit of a switch of how the phone call works.
Right. And then also Ryuji and he seems to be kind of a seer in a kind of a way. Like so Asakawa knows that he like kind of has visions or like can see things basically. So it's more mystical, I guess, is what I would say as far as the characters.
Mm-hmm. And Noah looks up the tape and is like, oh, there's no time code on the tape. Like that doesn't.
Yeah, the tracking's all fucked up. The timestamps don't line up.
So he's like, because when she copies it, the numbers look fucked up on her editing system. And then we get to his house and the numbers still aren't working. He's like, that doesn't work. That doesn't happen. It's impossible. That has to have time code. It has to come from somewhere. And that time code would tell us where this tape came from, what kind of machine at least it was made on, but there's nothing to go off of.
Yep, so it was magicked into the universe basically, so is what we're getting right now.
And in both they mentioned that there's a shot of a woman brushing her hair in a mirror, but you don't see the cameraman in the mirror. So
and the angle's wrong. You're supposed to see if that it's like head on. There's no way to hide a cameraman doing this angle.
Right. So something is weird about the filming of this tape. So we talk about in both versions the friend that the niece and the cousin in the beginning had, the other girl that was there that didn't get killed in the very beginning scene, is now in a mental institution. They mention it in both films, but in the American version, she actually goes to see her, which I kind of like. I feel like if you were a reporter, why would you not go see her?
editing. maybe they did. But yeah, so she goes to see her and she is not right because she saw her friend's face at the end and the faces that people make when they die of this do not look great. They look terrifyingly contorted. And I like that they handled it in the Japanese one, just saying, oh, they have a closed casket. I'm not sure why the funeral's closed casket, because that's very unusual. And so in this one, you actually get to see like, the face is terrifying.
But Becca doesn't really give her much information, just as like, hey, 4 days. You got 4 days.
And she's like, how do you know? And she's, because she can see it and because she's somehow a part of it. Even though she survived it, she's one of those ones that goes on and knows, and she can still see, like, oh, you're about to die.
So they go to watch the tape. Noah goes to watch the tape at the TV studio. And I'm sorry, she does. Rachel does in the American version.
She has a little AV moment. Yeah, she goes to check and she prints, tries to print images from the video because she's trying to gather clues and tries to find, and she ends up finding the little lighthouse that's like kind of on the edge of a frame that she'd been trying to fix the tracking. And so she's able to actually print it out and does a great library research moment, which we love, you know, going into the stacks and getting the big old newspaper, getting printed words, looking up lighthouses in America.
She also, while she's in this TV studio, there's a fly that's on the frame in one of them, in one of it, and she takes the fly off the screen. It becomes real in her hand, and she gets a nosebleed. So you're like, oh, okay, so it's physically working on you already, and you're hemorrhaging just a little bit. No big deal.
You're already in the upside down, kids. Yay. So she heads off to Moesco Island in this one. And then in the Japanese one, she's off to Izu Island.
Actually, Oshima Island is where she goes.
Yeah,
Where the so we have a different backstory for the lady ghosts in this one. So I can talk about the Japanese one if you want to talk about the American one.
Yeah, let's do it.
So in the Japanese one, there's a rhyme that comes up in this movie: "Frolic in brine, goblins be thine," which is kind of a cool rhyme. So we find out that a volcano eruption happened 40 years ago in Oshima Island, and there was a woman, Shizuku Yamamura, who predicted the volcano eruption, and everyone thought she was witch, and so she threw herself into the volcano. So then this is what we first learn about him and about her, and then things will start to get deeper as we go on. Is there a daughter? Is there not a daughter? We're gonna find out.
Unclear. And in America, we've got Anna Morgan, a prominent horsewoman. All of a sudden, though, her horses go insane and start killing themselves and running into the ocean. Eventually, she throws herself into the ocean and drowns herself. Did she have a daughter? We don't know. Maybe we might find out about her as well. But she, was a breeder and had this beautiful land on the island and a husband.
So we have in the Japanese version. So we talk about a lot about her being this seer, and we have this demonstration of her abilities where she's obviously the townspeople are like, "You're lying," and she's like, "I'll prove it to you." So they have this meeting of the town hall, and she is.
Well, the press were skeptical, so all the press is there. So this is bigger than just the town. This is like kind of like national media, basically, like coming up and converging upon them. So it's like a gaggle of reporters in a room, and they do the test.
And she passes every single one. She, you know, they've written a word into an envelope and closed it, and she's done it every time. But even when she proves herself, they still don't believe her. Like, oh, well, you faked it. It's all a big scam.
And it's a magic trick, and it's, you know, all rigged and all that stuff. So, and she's like, no, like, it's true. But it wasn't just her. There was someone else there, it turns out, as well, who was also being tested. Sadaka, right?
Yes, her daughter, who sees all of these people screaming at her mother and kills one of them with her mind. And that's where things start to go real wrong.
Yeah, so she's even more powerful than her mom. And so, yeah.
I do like this, so that, you know, in this sequence we have, it's a flashback, kind of. It's also kind of a vision. So we're learning here in the Japanese version, both our final boy and final girl, as you were, are both kind of psychic. Right. So there is a moment where Ryuichi is like, maybe we should all die. Maybe we should just end this family, because he realizes that they all have these spooky powers that maybe they shouldn't have. So he's partially having this vision of what happened at this demonstration. But also she's kind of also there in real life. So she's in the vision. And in both cases, they are grabbed by the little girl and have their hand her handprint burned into their arm.
Yeah. So the handprint's like a bellwether now too, of like, okay, well, you've been marked. And this is also like, as you're trying to grasp for information, she's going to fight you back. And so you're not sure who's helping, who's not also too, because it's unclear, you know, how you set her free. And if you should set her free, what the ramifications could be.
Right.
And if that's going to actually free you of this curse, or if the curse jumps, or how does it work? So they're all still trying to figure out the rules. Like, we just know we have the 7 days and that's it. So, yeah. And
In both cases, mom walks in to find a little boy watching the tape. So now the stakes have jumped even higher, because now her son is also going to die if she doesn't figure out what the deal is with this curse and how to break it.
Right. And Noah and the American one is not on board as right away until he's going to buy cigarettes. And then he sees himself in like security tape and like his face is all fucked up now. And he's like, okay, I believe you. I believe you. Now I'm on board. And so now they're a team. So I think the teamwork starts a little earlier in Ringu versus mm-hmm. the ring of the parents trying to figure out how to save their son, basically.
But we do find out around this time that in both cases, Ryuichi and Noah are the exes.
Yep, they're the daddy.
The baby daddy who want nothing to do with their son whatsoever, even to the fact they don't even talk to them, right? Like, we see them pass each other on the street, just look each other, keep on going. There's nothing. And I was like, oof, harsh. And really, you know, so on both cases, it makes it hard too, because I'm like, oh, now I really don't like you either, really. If like, you're just going to be abandoning your son like this. So you have these interesting, like, I really like the characters and dislike the characters at the exact same time, which is interesting. That's not normally you either. It's one or the other, but I'm like, I mm-hmm. kind of like them and don't like them.
Yeah, they're all super flawed, because like, it seems like everyone's just like either overly self-absorbed in whatever they're doing, and this is why we've gotten to where we've gotten to. And I think that's part of what the movie is kind of about too, or you know, the original story is just like the indictment of media consuming people and them people being isolated and not really connecting with other people. And so you think you're going to, you know, this thing bumps you out of that, like wakes you up, you know, out of that cycle, we would hope. But
so in both cases, they go off to this island to try to find out more information about the ladies. So I think that the American version's a good remake. I think Ringu's mm-hmm. great. I think The Ring is also great. But this is the one scene in the American remake that I was like, did we really need this? Really? Which is her on the ferry. She goes to see a horse inexplicably down in the bottom where the cars are. And the horse freaks out and runs out. And now we have a horse running around in the parking lot. And the horse is going to jump off. And I understand what it symbolizes. I get it. But it's just such a like, well, let's crank it up. And also, can we have some scenes of Naomi Watts showering and maybe in her underwear and like that kind of stuff? I'm like, come on.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's like 20 more minutes than the other one. And it's a lot more of these dramatic, over dramatic American, whatever.
I'm going to indict it. Sequence.
Yeah,
or whatever.
It's got to be done. And also just like devastating. And also like content warning for those who love animals. Like it's really brutal.
Yeah, this does not go well for really, this horse. This horse gets churned up real bad.
Yep. So we got blood in the water. Only time we really see kind of color, because this movie is very green and blue and got that early O's, mm-hmm. Just monochromatic kind of color palette.
So back on the island, in the Japanese version, we meet an old man who they're trying to ask about. And they find both they find the settings for a lot of the shots from the movie in the house where they are. But the old man that they talk to doesn't want to have anything to do with them. Won't talk to her, but the next day will talk to Ryuichi and confesses that like the mother used to Shizuko used to sit out and just watch the sea and talk to the sea and was mumbling in another language, and he, you know, and Ryuichi realizes once he touches him, it's like, oh, you're the one who condemned her. It was you who started it, and like it's your fault what happened because you didn't help her. Like, you were part of the people who were saying she was a witch.
Yeah, and so he can see all that when he touches his hand, because he's got kind of that psychic power as well. And so it's really, really condemning. But at the same time, as he's in that vision, Asakawa also jumps in that vision and gets like hurt in that vision too. Right. So from the vision. So it's like, what's real, what's not, what's part of them, what's leading them. But they're getting close. You can feel it because more bad shit and things like that are happening.
Yeah.
As you get a little closer to the answer. So And the American one, Naomi Watts, Rachel, she's on the island and she runs into Brian Cox, who is playing Richard Morgan.
And he has like 5 minutes of screen time, but you're like, you're just going to kill it, Brian Cox, aren't you? Because that's what you do. He's in everything.
He is. And he's so good. And he's so brutal and so like fantastic in this. And he's like, oh, so you're one of those reporters coming to bother me out here on the island again. Like, I guess, you know, every now and again, someone gets wind of the story and comes out there. And she's like, yeah, how did the horse, he's like, you want to ask about the horses, right? And he's like, yeah, they ran off, they broke the fences and they run to the shore and they jump in the water and that's it. And I don't breed anything anymore. I just take care of this land and farm and that's it. But Rachel goes in the house and she sees that mirror from the video and she starts seeing images again of like, oh no. And she tells him about the tape, that she found it on Shelter Mountain Inn. And, he has a creepy hook in his hand where he looks like he's about to like kill her with like a Captain Hook style hook. Yeah.
And she's like, don't you want to see it? And he's like, no,
don't. I'm good.
It. No, I'm okay. Just the correct answer, to be fair. But also, he looks like he's about to murder her. And you're like, it's Brian Cox. So he really could just murder her in this moment, right? Like, no telling with Brian Cox.
And she asks about his daughter. And he says, I don't have a daughter.
But meanwhile, Noah, they split off in the American version, and Noah goes off to the mental hospital where Anna Morgan was to try and figure out what her deal was, what the problem was.
So he tries to get the files and, you know, does a little song and dance with the people up front, which is hilarious, about trying to get down there, and finagles his way basically in to get the files and steal them.
So he finds out in the file that Anna Morgan was indeed there and had several miscarriages. And then
year after year, they tried over and over and over again. Yes. But then all of a sudden they magically had a child. Samara. Or got a child.
Mm-hmm. Yes. They apparently disappeared for a while and came back with her. They said they had adopted her, which makes it all sound very mysterious. Where did it come from? We don't really know. But there's a tape that is mentioned that it was Samara's session that is missing. Can't find it. But luckily, Rachel finds it because it happens to be in the VCR of our friend, Mr. Morgan.
Yep. And it's pretty bad. And so it's just her session and how she... we find out now this is maybe how the tape was made, because she just thinks things with her mind and all of a sudden they appear. So she has like these lithographs and like these little things that have just appeared. They're like, how did you get these? How did you draw these or make these? She's like, I just thought them. Right. And that's okay. It. So she does stuff with her mind and just can make things.
That's a pretty good one. I can't think of another horror movie where it's like they can literally just like create something out of thin air. Like all of a sudden there's a picture there. There's a videotape there. It's a pretty good superpower.
But it's kind of like the tapes we have in Sinister a little bit, where it's like all of a sudden there's tapes and you're like, where did those come from? They're from nowhere.
Yeah, that's true.
And they just pop in.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So Samara is being incredibly creepy in this video and says that she doesn't want to hurt people, but she does. And she's sorry, but she's going to do it anyway. So this is.
So she doesn't say she doesn't want to. The doctor says, do you not want to hurt people? She says, no, I do.
You're right. She does. You're correct. So as in the American version, as Rachel is watching this tape, she gets clocked by Mr. Morgan pretty damn good. And then he just goes right about going back what he was doing, which was preparing to kill himself. And is just going to do it right in front of her, whether she's there or not. Because he's like, oh, you've proved it, that this is never going to stop. It's going to keep going. And
she never sleeps.
Yeah. So he just wants out.
Yeah. And before Rachel had gone out to the island, her little boy Aiden gave her a drawing. And it turns out that drawing is of the house. So he's never been out to this island, but he can see shit too. So, and he had told her she lives in a dark place now and she doesn't like it because the horses keep her up at night. So Rachel's gotten some clues before she went out there, to the island.
Mm-hmm. So Mr. Morgan, zaps himself in the bathtub real bad.
He covers himself. You can't just say that. He literally gets like a necklace of a light strip, whatever. What are these called?
Power cord.
Strip. Power cord. Power strip.
Power extension cord.
Power extension cord. All of them. He had all the cords, all the power strips, like puts it around his neck, fills a bathtub full of water that's overflowing, has all this electricity in one room. And you're like, oh.
Just talking so calmly the whole way through it, though. Like, he's decided it and it's fine. And, like, we're going to do it. And, like, if you're there,
it's like,
okay,
the fastest way I do it. And he hops on in that tub with all the electricity around him and fries himself good in the tub.
So, but luckily, the second that happens, Noah suddenly there grabs Rachel. And now they are there together. They have their back as a team. And he is going to help her figure out what to do in this thing. So they figure out, doesn't like the horses, they keep her up at night. So they go to the stable and they find the room that Samara had been reduced to sleeping in because they were scared of her powers, I guess, was why they were keeping her there.
Yeah, keeping her away because she's probably, I mean, the havoc she's wreaking on this whole farm, you know what I mean, though, and on the horses, the family, they've lost everything, their livelihood, it all goes crazy in it, and it hadn't stopped and it won't stop.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Yeah. But they find a tree burned into the back wall underneath this wallpaper up in the barn. And Rachel knows exactly where that tree was. It was back in Shelter Mountain.
But we find out in so this is really the only kind of real big difference that they make in the movie, is what happened, who did the children in, who did Samara / Sadako in. So in the American version, they find out that this well that they keep seeing at the end of the film is where the child was killed, pushed into the well by her mother in The Ring and by her father in Ringu. So a little bit of difference.
Yeah, a little difference. Story. And also just impetus for it, too, of just like Anna had really wanted a child and really wanted her. And she's like, I wanted you. But then like the kid is so fucked up that she's like, she has to end her. And so she puts a plastic baggie on her and throws her in the well, which is just awful. And the other case, it's like unclear that this was anybody's daughter as well. This is the doctor.
Dr. Akuma is supposed to be his kid, as far as we know.
But that's still dubious.
Still dubious.
If it is.
Mm-hmm. And we have the crusty old fisherman we mentioned in the Japanese version that was the start of all this, offers to boat them back over to the mainland in his too small boat for this giant typhoon. So he redeems himself a little bit. And when we go back, both of them realize the well has to be underneath where the cabin is
mm-hmm.
in the mountain. So they go back to, which is so creepy. You're like, just don't build a cabin just right over a well. It's so like in like Native American burial ground type stuff, or poltergeist burial, you know, graveyard.
Right. But they were obviously drawn to it too, because then that's obviously going to draw people there because it's like a cursed thing. And so like people have to do it. They can't help themselves, Julia. They got to go. They got to watch the video. They got to do the things right. And so they'd been covered by this big old like rock kind of like cover over the top of it. So
from they were like looking down from the well up, you see a ring of light. Ha ha.
There's the ring. In the Japanese one, Ryuji just jumps on down in there and is like, okay, we got a bucket pulley system. We're trying to get this water out of here and trying to find the body. We got to let her out.
I was like, man, you guys don't have time for that. Come on now.
I know. And she's like, 7:08 and it's like 6 o'clock that they're doing this. I was like, this is not enough time to do this action.
Just dive down. What are you doing? But can we talk about how much deeper the well is in the American version? Like it's deep in the Japanese one, but also America was like, ooh, damn, that's like 20 feet down.
Yeah. You can't hear like from the water. You're like, are you in there? Like you can't see the bottom. And in the Japanese one, you can see the bottom. American one, you're like, nope. Nope, it's a nope.com for me.
Well, there's no other choice, right? It's like save yourself, save your son. This is what you have to do.
I get it.
In both cases, we find the poor little girl's nails on into the wall because they had tried to climb out. So they don't have fingernails in either case, which is disgusting. But they do find the body eventually. There it is. And at first looks like a sweet little girl and like, oh, cradling this sweet little girl until all of its skin melts away. And it's actually just a disgusting skeleton that's been down there. But she cradles her in a very motherly way. And they're going to lay that body to rest. Isn't that what's going to break the curse? It always breaks the curse.
No, not this time. So they think it's all good. They're like, it's over. We did it. Yay. Because like the handprint leaves her arm as well too, that had been like kind of seared into her arm, so we think that's going to be okay, but no, this is not the end.
They do a good fake out in both of it though. You're like, yeah. Okay, happy ending here. They figured it out.
Yeah, no, I was like, no, it can't be over. There's got to be something else, and so we find out that it gets skipped because a papa is about to die real fast because he was supposed to be the next day. He thinks everything's going all right. And then all of a sudden, Ryuji is like, I don't feel good. All of a sudden, he turns around and the TV is on its own. It's never a good sign. And especially in this movie. And so the video is going and he can't stop it. And he looks and looks and it's like, oh, no, it's different now. The movie has changed. The girl crawls out of the well now. And not just out of the well, she crawls out of the screen. And here she is, the creepy girl.
And it's that iconic ring, hair in the face movements that look like people do not move that way, creepiness right up into that face, and he is dead as a doornail. So now Rachel slash Asagawa is like, what the fuck? What we did it. What
did I do differently? So then they got to figure out, what do we do differently in my case versus his case? And the case thing is, she had made a copy and forwarded it on, and which is what you got to do. You got to make someone else watch it, and you got to pass it on, or else you die. So she's like, and I love Asakawa's like, okay, grandpa. Like, she's like, you got to watch this movie. She's like, it's for Yoichi, for your grandson. If you want him to live, you got to watch this movie. And he's like, she drives on out to him. And I was just like, end. And I was like, brilliant. I love that.
Really? Because I was like, damn, she's heartless, man. Presumably she'll make, you know, she'll bring the it on so grandpa won't die. But still, you're like, making your dad watch it? Harsh. Because in the American version, they're like, oh, what happens to the next person that watches it, right? Like, there's somebody nameless. We don't know who
could be anybody.
Mm-hmm. But it's going to be somebody. And so both of these have sequels. So this continues on. These stories of the ring continues on. I think that these are really good movies, both. Yeah. I think I've seen, you know, I saw both of them in the theater, and I think that they both are scary. And it's funny because it's something that, like, I remember very clearly going to see The Ring in the theater and being terrified and, like, really, really being scared. And, like, and now, and I don't know if it's because I've seen it before or because I just don't get scared very much anymore. And I was just like, oh, okay.
Like, I wasn't scared. This is my first time watching both of them. Yay, Horror Movies Forever God, making me watch new things. I love it always. I didn't find it. I think it's just what was interesting is, like, oh, because technology has changed so much that these movies would be totally different now, because we don't have landlines anymore. The way we share video is different. Like, you would have to send somebody a link, and like,
there'll be an updated remake. Don't worry.
Oh, I'm sure. Like a cursed link, though. Do you know what I mean? No, and like, or like a cursed YouTube or some shit. So it's like, I feel like that's already happening anyway.
I know. You know. I'm sure.
So it's like, it couldn't be done now. So I think it is interesting, but they were not particularly scary also, because I feel like pop culture has used that girl so much in, like, so many things. And, like, obviously in, like, even in Scary Movie, which I've seen, of course, too, right. Making fun and using the trope of it. But I like this story. I think it's an interesting indictment on family and just on, like, if you're not paying attention or if you don't love your kids, like, they can fucking kill you.
I think it's, you know, I think they both, you know, it started off partially, one of the ones that started off, Ringu started off this kind of J-horror phase in the late 90s, early 2000s, and also, you know, obviously brought this over to America. As a film lover, of course, I would say just please watch Ringu first. I don't see why we have to remake it in an American way. Just watch a Japanese one. It's great. But here we are. This is what America does. And I love Naomi Watts, and I find her, and that's why it's hard. Like, I don't like this character very much, but I like her so much. Like, she brings a very likable quality to her.
She does a great job in this. She's fantastic. And she's, you know, talented actor. I just like the dynamic of the family, I think, better in Ringu. I think the dad, there's more care. I don't know. There's something about them teaming up and, like, trying to really fight it together that I really enjoyed, that I feel like you don't really get that payoff in the American one.
I don't know. Like, I felt
Noah
like
just seems like, I was just like, ugh. Well, he just annoyed me.
But at least in the American version, Noah and Aiden actually have a conversation, right? Like, yeah. He's like, you want me to be around more? And he's like, no. Do you want to be around more? And he's like, no. So they actually, like, acknowledge what's happening. And we don't ever get any of that in the Japanese version. And in fact, when she calls Yoichi to say goodbye, when she thinks he's going to die, he doesn't even get on the phone. Like, he doesn't even give him, like, a last goodbye. Like, there's nothing. And I was like, that's harsh, man. Like, you think you're going to die? You think your kid's going to die? And you're not even going to say, I love you, like, before that happens? Like, no.
Right.
I'm good. Like, ooh, harsh on both counts.
Yeah.
But I would say these are really actually really fun to watch back to back and just see the kind of subtle differences between them and what choices they make. And as far as filmmaking goes, how the lighting's different, how the camera works different. And it's, you know, the acting style. It's all very interesting.
Well, not the acting style, even from, like, the beginning with Amber Tamblyn at the beginning with her and her friend, like, the way that the girls interact with each other and with the mom even too. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so like American teens are just different level of respect for parents.
Yeah.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah, one could say that. So let's talk about some gore factor. One is not enough blood to fill a Dixie cup. Two is a puddle of blood. Three is enough blood to gross out the average viewer. Four is a bathtub of blood. And five is run for the barf bag. So this movie, neither of these movies are particularly gory. We get some nasty faces. We do
nails.
Get some bloody water. And that's pretty much all we get, some nails. So for Ringu, we give it a 2 for gore. That is a puddle of blood. And for The Ring, we give it a 3 for gore. Enough blood to gross out the average viewer. So yeah. A little bit, but not a lot.
Not gory, more psychological and more all the other creepy things and like the fear of like, oh my God, imminent death.
Right. And lots of disturbing imagery, but not necessarily gory stuff.
For sure. All right. And then let's talk about movie ratings. Chainsaw is one if you're desperate. 2 barely qualifies as a horror film. 3 seen worse, seen better. 4 not too shabby. 5 fantastic oracle. I gave Ringu a 4 and I give The Ring 3.5. I always think the original, I think, is a little better. I like the tension. I like that they didn't have to explain everything and spell out everything. I like the shots of like how that really creates a lot between the shadow and light, and they didn't really have to go and show as much of the face and like try to like show something's truly disturbing. The way they just cut away and let your imagination kind of let it do its job, I really like that. And I think the economy of that was really, really, really works. And The Ring, I also thought was really well acted. I love Naomi. I think she did a really good job. And that little Aiden kid is freaking terrifying in the American one. And I love him for that because he's just such a little grown up and he was great.
So I actually give both of these a 5 because I feel like they are, along with Ju-on, like The Grudge, like the best examples of J-horror and J-horror being crossed over into America. Because I feel like there's a lot of them. Because I've seen, you know, a lot of the other kind of J-horror stuff, which are good, but and I've seen the remakes, which are bad, right? So like there is a way to do it well, and there's a way to not do it well. And I feel like this is a respectful remake and really tries to bring a lot of the original elements into it, which I appreciate. But again, I will always say, please watch the original before you watch the remake, because that's what you should be doing. So next week, we're going to do a little something for Day of the Dead, since we're going to be right smack dab on there. And we're going to be doing The Curse of La Llorona. So it's in the Conjuring universe.
Yes. Llorona. Little conjuring in there. Yeah.
A little bit, but also a little bit of a Mexican folktale. So we're excited to talk about that. Neither one of us has seen it.
Yeah.
So please do check us out if you'd like to talk to us. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We have a Patreon that we would love for you to subscribe to. If you'd like to support your the people that you love to hear talk, then that's what this is for.
Independent media. Yay.
Yes. Support. You will get rewarded with little bonus tidbits. We also have a Teespring store if you want to talk about some merchandise. We got that as well covered. And we always love to talk to you because you, our listeners, are amazing.
Yeah, you make the show happen. So thank you all so much for hanging out with us. We'll see you next week.
And have a very, very happy...
Happy Halloween! Oh my gosh, Halloween, Julia.
Yeah,
what are you gonna be? Do you know what you're going to be yet? You still figuring it out?
Still figuring it out. But, you know, Halloween is my very favorite holiday, so I'm pumped up,
excited.
Oh
my God, I can't wait. I can't wait to see whatever you do. I think it's going to be fabulous. All right, y'all. Have a great one. Stay safe, stay healthy. We love you. Bye.
Happy Halloween.